peel off randomly from the two other ships, more like autumn leaves falling from a tree than anything orchestrated. The image resolution was too poor to be sure, but I suspected there were actually space-suited teams crawling around outside those ships with cutting tools and explosives. They were dislodging the sleeper rings by brute force. "You still can't win," I told Armesto. Armesto deigned to reply, though I'd half expected the other ships to maintain radio silence from here on in. "We can, and we will. You said it yourself, you don't have as many dead as us. No matter how many you throw away, it'll never be sufficient." "We'll find a way to make it sufficient." Later I guessed at what kind of strategy that might be. No matter what happened next, the ships were no more than 2 or 3 months from journey's end. With carefully rationed supplies, some colonists could be woken ahead of schedule. The revived Momios could be kept alive on board the ship with the crew, albeit in conditions which would border on the dehumanizing, but it might be sufficient. Every 10 colonists that were woken meant a sleeper ring which could be ejected, and a concomitant reduction in ship's mass, allowing a sharper deceleration profile. It would be slow and dangerous, and I expected that they would lose perhaps 1 in 10 that they tried to revive under such suboptimal conditions, but it might be just enough to offset the mass difference. Enough to give them, if not an edge over me, then at least parity. "I know what you intend," I told Armesto. "I doubt it very much," the old man answered. But I soon saw that he was right. After the initial flurry of sleeper ring ejections, there followed a pattern, one ejection every 10 hours or so. That was exactly what I would have expected, 10 hours to thaw every colonist in a ring. There would only be a handful of people on each ship with the expertise to do that, so they would have to work sequentially. "It won't save you," I said.
"I think it will, Sky. I think it will."
Which was when I knew what had to be done. Chapter 38. "What do you mean you killed her?" Zebra asked, the five of us still studying the grotesque tableau of Dominica's death. "That's not what I said," I answered. "I said Tana Mirabel killed her."
"And you are?" Chantrell said.
"If I told you, I'm not completely sure you'd believe me. As a matter of fact, I'm having a little trouble dealing with it myself." Pransky, who had been listening to our exchange, raised his voice and spoke with solemn surety. "Dominica's still warm, and rigor mortis hasn't set in yet. If your whereabouts can be accounted for over the last few hours, which I suspect is strongly the case, you're hardly a prime suspect." Zebra tugged at my sleeve. "What about the two people I said were after you, Tanner? They acted like outsiders, according to Dominica. They might have killed her for snitching about them."
"I don't even know who they are," I said. "At least I can't be sure. Not about the woman, anyway. But I'm willing to hazard a guess about the man."
"Who do you think it is?" Zebra said.
Quirinbach cut in. "I really don't think we should spend too long here. Not unless you want to tangle with what passes for authority here. And believe me, that's not especially high on my agenda."
"Much as it grieves me to agree with him," Chantrell said, "he has a fairly good point, Tanner."
"I don't think you should call me that anymore," I said.
Zebra shook her head slowly. "Who do we call you, then?"
"Not Tanner Mirabel, anyway." I nodded at Dominica's body. "It must have been Mirabel who killed her. The man who's following me is Mirabel. He did this, not me."
"This is insane," Chantrell said, to general nods of agreement,
although no one much looked like they were enjoying proceedings.